gonna be. There's Pete and Chris, they are hosts on that show. Bringing you Bigfoot news, yo-yo. Watching in the woods, catching all the clues. Digging deep to bring you all the news. From sightings to footprints, it's all in the light. Stay tuned to Squatch Key, it's out of sight. And good evening, cyberspace. Welcome to the Bigfoot News, episode one, with Juan, Stephen, Chris, and here we are talking the news of the week in the wonderful Bigfoot world, and welcome one and all.
Yeah, I'm glad to see everybody showed up, and I know it's a new night and everything, so we don't expect everybody to be jumping in 5,000 viewers, but we appreciate each and every one of you. Thank you.
Yes, thanks for being here.
How has the weather been in New York, my friend? Because I've got some things to share.
It's cold, man. It's cold.
We have been in a single digits in Kentucky. And the other day, like, my water froze. Okay. And it has been a nightmare. I've got it thawed out now. Thank goodness there were no busted pipes. But we have been getting into the single digits. And the water froze up, and it has been freaking cold. I've not even been out of the house the last few days because, you know, I ain't going out there.
Yeah, well, a deep freeze that hit the Midwest last week is hitting us this week.
Yeah.
So, and here we are. But the beautiful thing is that end is in sight. Looks like Wednesday it's going to break. So.
Yeah. I think if we can make it past Saturday or Sunday one, we'll get out of the single digits. Maybe by Monday we'll be okay and get up at least into the teens. You know? Single digits, man. That's cold.
So here we are tonight, and the premise of the show is, because it's the first show, we'll give you the premise. Chris and I each pick a couple of stories out of the Bigfoot news of the week, and and we will discuss them, giving our spin to it, giving what we, you know, if something makes fun of Bigfooting, we're going to call it out if it needs to be called out, and we shall see what happens. So, Chris, you want to go with the first one today? And that's going to be the Hudson Valley one. The Bigfoot in New York.
Yeah. Well, I ran across this while I was searching the news things for the latest info. We're not going to have very many sightings. The most recent sighting was
2020.
No. The most recent real one probably. But they talked about that Colorado thing, the train Bigfoot.
Oh, as far as overall stories. Yeah.
But this one is going to be. Okay, let me open it up here. Hang on. Okay. Yeah. Bigfoot researchers of the Hudson Valley hold a talk in Red Hook, New York. And this article goes on. It talks about a little bit about Bigfoot, but it says, just because you've never seen something doesn't mean it doesn't exist. There are plenty of mysteries in the world that only a few people can claim they have seen. It would be considered ridiculous if everyone in the world had to see something to verify its existence. I realize in the age of artificial intelligence, we all need to be more suspect of things that don't seem real. But Bigfoot is an exception to that practice. No, I'm not certain about that because, you know, we've seen artificial intelligence creations like those photos. Remember that you busted here a while back?
Yep. Well, then again, you know, I'm also looking at it that the Bigfoot mystery has existed long before artificial intelligence was even a thing. And it existed before computers were a thing.
Yeah.
So I think that was the point they were trying to make. Maybe.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be cool. The Bigfoot turkey monster. Okay, the first one. The first recorded Bigfoot sighting on the Google map document is from 1962 until the 1990s, according to the Post. The creature terrorized a Maybrook, New York turkey farm. Now, that's cool.
And for those who don't know, Maybrook is, and the reason why I know about Maybrook is my oldest brother lived there for a while.
Very cool.
It is about 15 miles east of Middletown, New York. It is rural, in a rural area for the most part. So
it says it terrorized this New York turkey farm so often they nicknamed it the Turkey Monster. Anyway, said creature was also known to scare off teens partying, even going as far as throwing a keg as the teens scattered to their cars. So, the Bigfoot turkey monster is kind of misleading.
Sounds like a little bit of an urban legend going on there, too.
Monster, yeah. And he's breaking up keg parties by teens.
You don't want to have a keg party because the turkey monster will show up. Then I see the Blooming Grove Bigfoot. And in 1976, a man recounts an experience where he and four other children saw what they saw. So he was a gorilla watching them through a window of an abandoned house on Farmingdale Road in Blooming Grove.
Blooming Grove, New York again.
Yep. These are all the Hudson Valley sightings.
Yeah.
So another account from 1976 in Blooming Grove on Farmingdale Road is...
Yeah,
road is on the map which makes us wonder if that's a hot spot for Bigfoot. But we're talking; they were both in 1976.
Yeah, because the next one pops up is Farmingdale Road Bigfoot. Yeah,
and then there is a sighting at Harriman State Park. Two friends driving witness a Sasquatch near the Appalachian Trail cross.
Yeah,
Lake Kanawake. See, we're not the only ones to have like. Kanawake, that's kind of almost sounds like it's from Wisconsin almost, but
it does, doesn't it?
But this one's interesting because it says fishermen docking a boat around 9:20 p.m. hear a large boulder thrown into water, man-like creature with red eyes seen as they flashed lights on it.
Yeah. Now that's cool. Now that's a more believable sighting. That's something they're not saying I saw its toes.
Orange County campground sighting in 1997. A campground operator at Tyrati Plateau Campground caught a glimpse of a Bigfoot in October of 1997, which that's interesting because the Tyrati Plateau is in the Hudson Valley, as is where the Pridgen video was shot, is in the Hudson Valley on Limbo Lake up in Ulster County, New York. That's part of the the Hudson Valley. So, and that was in the same year the Limbo Lake video was shot.
Right. Did you drive by that campground when you did an outing out there? You're all back now.
No, I didn't really do a different place. Yeah, I did not do an outing at Limbo Lake.
It was a road trip, more or less. You were out and checking out some areas. I watched one of your videos. It's been a while ago, though. But
yeah, no, that wasn't. That was north, I believe.
Okay.
Summer's Bigfoot sighting in 2010. This one is pretty interesting, considering fishermen and law enforcement saw what they believed to be Bigfoot. The following was reported. Fishermen and law enforcement officer reported three Class A sightings in the town of Summers within a year.
So that's not just some guys out fishing. That's also some law enforcement officers.
Right. And then the Nuclear Lake Bigfoot. Of course, there is a Nuclear Lake in New York. It's called Nuclear Lake.
That's a new one on me.
Yes, it's by Indian Point Nuclear Reactor.
Okay.
Yep, and which is in the Hudson Valley as well. According to the report, a family of campers saw what they believed to be a Sasquatch pass by their tents while camping near Nuclear Lake in Putnam County back in July of 2007. And that's just a few of these articles they have on here, which I think is really cool because they're giving some prominence to the phenomenon by reporting without comment, just in raw form, what people are reporting.
Right.
So I think
that's what I like to see.
Right. Yeah. We're going to see another article down the road here a bit that's kind of sideslap a little bit, I think, just because of the use of something. And we'll explain that later. But
yeah. You want to do my second one last?
No, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. I was saving the long form. The reason why I'm putting that last one. Yeah, your second one is last, actually, Chris.
Okay, yeah. Well, that's what I was thinking.
Because that's going to be the...
Man, we didn't do... has it been long enough yet? Have we got enough people in here? Can we do roll call?
We can do roll call. We always do roll calls on our live podcast. Of course, first in today, Gary Johnson Sr.
Yeah.
He says it was... And it was a big-time challenge, but somebody has to. And then we got Patty Troy. Welcome, Patty. Good to see you.
Thanks.
And Angel Nolan, one of our members, is here in the house.
Good to see you, man.
Tennessee Cherokee is in there as well. Here's somebody new, Aaron Rinzi. Good to see you, Aaron. Sharon's in the house. Jay Fritz is in the house as well.
Jay?
Rabbit Homesteading. Hey, welcome.
Rabbit Homesteading. That's new.
That's a new one. Yep.
Welcome.
Lester Taylor, he goes, wow, Friday stream. Lester. Hello, all. Yes, Lester. Two nights a week, Fridays and Sundays. Fridays, we do the news.
Yeah.
And, of course, our good friend Brian and Chewy go hiking.
Brian, thanks, buddy. It's good to see you, man.
Jen is in the house.
Hey, Jen.
And up there's our good friend, Mr. 2505 Federal. Good to see you, brother.
Welcome.
Nikki's in the house as well. Hey, hi, Nikki. Thanks for swinging by.
Yeah.
And that's what we got for a roll call, people who are talking tonight. Wow. Of course, we got a lot. Yeah, which means we got a lot of lurkers, and that's good.
Welcome. Yeah.
Yeah, open up. Oh, I'm sorry. Arthur Watch is here as well.
Arthur. Welcome, Arthur.
So,
glad we weren't to see sure you. Exactly how the first night was going to go, where we have, you know, one person in or two people come in and check us out. I'm pleasantly surprised by you guys showing up.
Timberline Camp says hello as well. Sup, dudes? Hey, what's up, Timberline? Good to see you. Helton's up. Helton, a.k.a. Faster Man in the house as well.
Good to see you, man.
So it's good to see y'all.
Yeah. Friday night, it's a new thing for us.
Rabbit Home said, he says, not new, LOL. Undercover normally. Lurking. Brian McMahon said lurking is cool too, and that's exactly what he's doing.
It certainly is. Yeah,
that's it. Yeah, we appreciate y'all, lurkers and all. We appreciate you being here for us.
I'll do that a lot of times. I'll turn a podcast on and then I'll let it play in the background while I'm looking around. I'll just listen. I love to listen to people talk.
Well, I live by that saying, you know.
Yeah.
Better remain silent and thought a fool than open mouth and remove all doubt.
Open mouth and confirm it. But yeah, we didn't know.
I know. Now I sound like a friggin' fortune cookie.
We didn't know how things were going to go because, you know, right. Friday night. Okay. I don't even know what's going on Friday night.
Yep, but just wanted to give a shout out to Emily Fleur, who's going to be part of that discussion. She lives in New York now, and she's down in that area, so that's awesome.
Emily.
And our next story, we're going to bounce over to Michigan. This happened just last year during hunting season, and images of gruesome scene were shared on Facebook earlier this week by Dean Pope, who explained he stumbled across it in some woods in the northern part of Michigan's Lower Peninsula. He said it was in the same place where he had a sighting of Bigfoot in July 2022. Today, Monday, January 8th, it happened this year. I went out before we were supposed to have a big snowfall tomorrow, and there on a two-track trail, I found this deer body, he explained. And as you can see, it is.
It's got a twisted neck.
Looks like the eyes are out.
I
don't know. There just looks to be some insect manifestations and some. I'm not sure if that looks predation or not.
I don't know, man. I'm looking at this and, you know, I'm seeing the little patches of snow on the ground and the little powdery. And just to the left of the deer's neck, I'm seeing the ground has not got that.
Right.
But it looks like the body has been moved.
Well, what concerns me here is that where's the rest of the neck?
Yeah,
that's all I'm missing.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. Is this a skinned deer carcass?
That's kind of like what I was thinking.
Right. Yeah. Is it, you know, it looks like it could be somebody field dressed their deer. And whatever reason, the head got spun around on it, because you don't take the deer head with you.
No. You know, well, a lot of people do it differently. Some guys, once they kill a deer, now here in Kentucky, I don't know about Michigan, but now in Kentucky, if you go deer hunting, a lot of times the guy will do, he'll shoot, if he shoots a deer, he'll field dress it, him, and then more or less you just split it down the middle and rake it, all the internals out, and then you drag the whole thing back. Some guys will cut the head off when they do that, but right. You know, it just depends. Did you bring a saw with you? Well, you know, a lot of guys don't, but they do bring a knife that they can, you know, rake out all the internals. That way it's easier to drag it back. They're not near as heavy when you do that. But in some cases, though, I mean, guys will dress one right out in the field because they don't have no place to do it at home. This is if you've never been deer hunting and never killed a deer and never cleaned one, it is a big job. If you're going to do it at home, you've got to have access to a lot of water. I always used to hang mine up in the barn, you know. But
yeah, I mean, to me, this looks like the, I mean, why didn't we get a complete shot of it?
Right.
You know, yeah. To me, it looks like this is a cleaned deer left behind, and the head was just twisted a couple of times and laid down. Take a picture. Hey, I found this. Perhaps it was to bolster his Bigfoot sighting a couple of years earlier. I don't know. Well, perhaps he came upon it and thought, because like we've talked in the past, people get Bigfoot on the brain.
Right.
So here's this deer carcass, you know, cleaned out. It's got to be Bigfoot. So whether it's an actual hoax or whether it's a misidentification.
Yeah. It looks suspicious to me.
Right. Right. You know, where's the vertebrae? Because you can obviously see in this area right in here.
Right.
There's no vertebrae there.
Right. No, that's skin and hide. That's all it
that's,
is.
Yeah, that's all skin and hide. So to me, it looks like a gutted deer.
Leftovers from a deer cleaning.
Yeah. And of course, we're generally going to have, three stories that go between 15 and 5 to 10 minutes. And then we have one story that's going to be kind of the breakout story of the night. And we have that lined up. So we do have two more stories to get to tonight. And that's true. It could also be a cougar kill, but I don't see how a cougar, I mean, would a cougar take the vertebrae out? To me, it looks like the head was lopped, sawed off or chopped off a bit. And, you know, perhaps they took the whole spinal column out of it.
Yeah.
To get all the meat, which I've never cleaned a deer, so I don't know. That's something is there a method where somebody will take the neck and just pull it back out to get all the meat and stuff out of the hide?
Well, there's a lot of, some guys will take, this is kind of graphic. Okay. I'm sorry, but this is a fact of life. If you're a hunter, some guys will take cut the right behind the head. Okay, and they'll take the neck down. And some guys, you know, who don't want that meat on the neck will cut down here near the shoulder or in the middle or something. But, yeah, I could see this. You know, normally you would need a saw if you're going to do this out in the wilderness, okay? But who's to say that this wasn't cleaned at somebody's house or something and they took and dumped this off out in the woods to get rid of it? Because you don't want this stuff in your garbage can at home, believe me.
No. Stinks. Yeah, I can imagine, you know, decomposition and everything, no matter what kind of animal, it stinks to high hell.
Normally, you know, deer hunting weather's in colder months, you know, so it doesn't decompose that quickly. But you see, you've got some snow on the ground here, and this is what bothered me.
From what I understand it, Mr. Federal, is the cougar usually hits the back hindquarters, brings the deer down, and then jumps up to the neck and pins it down and kills it that way. That's how I understand a cougar kill, as well as the same thing with the wolves and coyotes and bear. They all attack the hindquarters first. Yeah. And that's why I find it very suspect that there's not a picture of the entire carcass.
Yeah, if they can get around to the front of the neck and crunch down on its ability to breathe air in and out, and they suffocate their kill, and that's terrible too. But it's nature, okay? It happens.
And I agree 1,000% rabbit homesteading is that I do not believe that this is necessarily a Bigfoot kill. Right. But somebody who has seen a Bigfoot may have that Bigfoot on the brain where this has got to be Bigfoot and put one yeah. together. Now, interesting, I reached out to Mr. Pope. He has not returned my message on Facebook. I have not seen that post on his page. So maybe I have the father, not the son. I'm not sure. But whatever the case is, if I do get in touch with Pope, I'm sure we will have a follow-up to this at some point.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not going to be uncommon to find the remains of deer carcasses. Yeah,
and again, I agree, Angel, with that as well.
Yeah.
Okay, next story. And this one you've seen popping around. This one is a gentleman says, we were camping up there. In the woods, and he is in Oregon where he was, Washington State where he was camping. We were camping up there and taking pictures of big trees and ourselves next to big trees. And this was one of the pics next to one of the trees.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, this just aired recently or got in the news recently. This picture actually was taken in 2015. I did notice strange noises that day and a weird smell. We even left an area and went to another due to the weird vibe. A week later in my apartment in Seattle, I zoomed up on a picture of a big tree. Second picture is of me, that same tree from a different angle, wondering what the dark area was and what the dark, maybe a Bigfoot sighting on accident. Who knows? To me, it looks like a bear standing up.
I agree, but I don't see the ears.
Well, I think that's because there is some foliage in this area.
It's blocking it. It's hidden behind those leaves.
But you see a snout, and the snout looks a little brighter right in here than the rest of the body, which to me would be a bear.
Yeah.
Bears can smell. Yeah. I find it interesting. He didn't describe the weird smell. He said he didn't make the mention to say, he didn't make the mention to say it smelled like a death-like smell. He just said a weird smell. Usually when you smell a Bigfoot, the first thing, it smelled like death or garbage. This guy just said weird. And bears can smell weird because, again, like a dog, they got a doggy-like smell sometimes. Lester says
their own odor.
Lester says he needs to see a red circle on it. And that's some booty. Sure is. Well, that is a booty bear.
Yeah.
And, again, if you look at the alleged quote unquote arms, they don't look long enough to be to me, it just looks like a bear standing up.
Or this could be some guy wearing a bear skin rug.
Yeah, but I'm thinking that this is likely a misidentification.
I think so.
Not a hoax.
Right.
Of it, because there was like, hey, I just came home and found this. And we've seen that in the past with the picture, but many, many years ago, we're talking 2005. We're talking about the Rosick pictures in LaSalle Falls, Wisconsin, that it looked like there was a Bigfoot standing in the background. And again, he said, I didn't, it was even less of any kind of thing going on here. And it makes sense because Rosick was like, we just came home. This was the picture. He actually, again, this was a film camera because this is the days where digital was just starting to come about.
Right.
And he had sent me the negative, and the negative showed all the other pictures in the series, which is one of my benchmarks, is a person being honest with me or not. And he was willing and able to send me the pictures. When we did post that, index print, because it came with an index print, we covered the faces of everybody that was involved. We covered any identifying marks, and we would put it up there. We sent an investigator out there, a gentleman by the name of David Gay, and he went out there and discovered that the back of the picture, there was this big, dark, blackish rock wall. Yeah. And what that was
remember that. Yeah.
Right, what it was just a pareidolia event where it looks like something's, but actually that was part of that rock wall.
Right. Optical illusion.
Right.
That now, shadow or that rock wall looked like Bigfoot.
But in this case, in looking at this picture, it does appear to be a subject in the film, but that subject to me looks like a bear with some blending of the foliage in front. Like I said, you can see the foliage dropping down all the way into here with this. There's some foliage over in here, which could obstruct the ear.
Right.
There's pixelation in it. Again, we're talking 2015.
So really blurry. Yeah.
Right. Well, it's also zoomed in. If you look at the, I zoomed it in trying to get the best picture possible, the closest picture possible to it. And so to me, it looks like a misidentification.
But you know what people are going to say? Somebody are going to say, that's Dogman, Steve. That's Dogman.
Oh, very true. Very true. I don't think it's a Dogman.
I think it's Bear Man.
I think it's a bear. And bears, believe it or not, bears are notoriously quiet as well.
Yeah.
Yep. I've talked to a lot of people who've had bear encounters, and they're always saying, geez, that bear... we didn't even hear it coming. And all of a sudden there's this bear out of nowhere.
Yeah.
So
not I had one bear encounter. And when this dude just walked out of the brush, I mean, all of a sudden I hear the brush and then I looked over and there's a bear looking at me.
Yeah.
And that's kind of unnerving.
And then again, if they're moving about and around, they may not hear the bear moving about as well.
Right. Right.
Or they're talking and not. And to me, it just looks like the bear popped up to see if his coast was clear or
what's going
possibly
on,
he's responding to their movement and their.
When a bear stands up, he's trying to figure out what's going on.
Right.
What's happening.
Right. And we have the Pennsylvania thermal video, which was a bear. It turned out to be a bear. We didn't know what it was at first because when we came on it, the bear was actually standing up.
Yeah.
But then we see it kind of lurch down and you see it ungulate away, run away real fast. And we could hear it very clearly. No smell associated, but Lester, you're right on. I can, and that is actually pronounced picnic basket. Hey, boo boo, I see the picnic basket.
Lester, you're killing me, man. I'd need a red circle for the picnic basket, man. I can't make it out. I'm sorry.
We could draw one in, but
it's not worth the effort.
Yep. So anyhow, let's get on to
chat is hopping. Look at this.
Hey, there it is.
It is.
Chris said, yeah, chat is hopping.
It is. Yeah. Thanks, guys. We appreciate you guys being here. Thank you for your support.
Yep. OT snuck in too after we started.
Yeah, see OT in there.
So, just on a personal, do I look a little more rested now, Chris? Now that I'm not working nights anymore. And got a good night's sleep last night. Got up this morning. I've been putzing around.
Well, normally, when you do the third shift, night shift, you always have the big red. underneath the red saggy eyes.
No more.
That was shift of the living dead.
Yeah. Well, the nice thing is seniority rule. So I've moved up in seniority. So I got the nice shift now.
Sounds good, man.
And hello, Ada. Good to see you. There's a new name to the group. Hello, Ada. Good to see you.
Welcome.
Okay. And our final story of the night. And this one's going to be the discussion one. And Chris, this came out of Mental Floss. And here it is, an article about 10 wild Bigfoot conspiracy theories.
Yeah. The first one, wait a minute. A DNA test proved that Bigfoot is part human hybrid. Did it? It says in November 2012, Texas veterinarian Melba S. Ketchum claimed to have proved via a supposed Sasquatch DNA sample that the legendary apes are partially human. According to a statement put out by DNA Diagnostics, our data indicate that the North American Sasquatch is a hybrid species, the results of males of an unknown hominin species crossing with female Homo sapiens.
Can you can you pause there for a second?
Yeah, go ahead, man.
Now comes the part where we throw our heads back and laugh. Ready?
Ready!
Oh, well.
Sorry, Chris.
We're going there, though. So, yeah. Okay, where was that? Our data indicate that the North American Sasquatch is a hybrid species, a result of a male of an unknown hominin species crossing with a female Homo sapiens. Okay. She even went so far as to insist that the U.S. government recognizes Sasquatches as an indigenous people and immediately protect their human and constitutional rights.
Now comes the part where we throw our heads back and laugh. Ready?
Ready!
Sorry, I had to do that again just for that one.
Recently, Ketchum launched a GoFundMe to finance her work, which she claims includes samples from Bigfoot, Dogman, Giants, and others.
That's why it's under the 10 wild Bigfoot conspiracy
theories. Yeah. Well, there's some issues with that. You know,
and we've discussed them ad nauseum here.
Many times, yes.
If anybody wants to...
you want to go back and check the shows. Dang it. What was that one called? Bigfoot DNA analysis?
Richard Minnick says humans have Squatch DNA, and so do chimpanzees, so do gorillas, so do orangutans, as we all have similar DNA.
Yeah.
Right. But the whole hybrid theory, no. And we, like I said, we've talked about that ad nauseum. Probably, we had Haskell Hart on the show once, and we also had
that's Kevin a good show.
Yep, and we also had Kevin Harder on the show as well.
Yes, that's a good show.
And talking about how the hybridization theory does not make sense because of hybridization not being a very long period of time.
Yeah.
So when something hybrid, right?
The offspring tends to be sterile. So if you had a hybridization between two, they couldn't have any more offspring. Their offspring couldn't have.
So, and OT says, Ketchum, if I remember right, she just tested results on chromosome 11, which in human yields results from both parents. It was flawed and there was a preconceived notion. And that is correct.
The hybridization theory doesn't work. And, you can just look up mules. Mule is the offspring of a donkey or a burro, whatever you want to call them, and a horse. And once they have a mule, okay, that mule is sterile. It cannot reproduce. You do have male and female mules born, but unfortunately, because they're hybridization, they are sterile, so they cannot reproduce.
Right.
You'll always have to have a horse and a donkey in order to make a mule.
Okay, wild conspiracy number 2. Chris.
Hang on, let me click up here. You've got it written there, buddy, but I cannot see that. I need to bring glasses with me.
The government has secretly removed burnt Sasquatch corpses from Mount St. Helens after the 1980 eruption.
Yeah. Following the disaster, a few witnesses reported seeing federal helicopters carrying off the charred remains of several Sasquatches from the area. Prior to the eruption, Mount St. Helens had already been a hotspot for supposed 8-men sightings and even a reported attack. Yeah, we know about that one. Since the 1920s, with a nearby gorge, was eventually named Eight Canyon. Now, here we go. Not only Ape Canyon was already named that before this crap ever happened, so they're starting out.
What up, Mike?
They're starting out. They're trying to make up history as they go. It don't work that way.
Yep.
Ape Canyon was already there before any of the Bigfoot activity was reported.
Right. Correct. And then again, remember we had Jay Birch on the show.
Yeah.
Who was actually part of military operations at Mount St. Helens during the eruptions, who clearly said we did not have any Sasquatch teams going out there to get bodies or anything like that. We were too busy. We had a national disaster going on. We were looking for trapped people. We were looking for scores of people. We were looking at cars that were buried in ash. We were looking at, you know, rescuing people or recovering bodies of people.
Yeah. They would go out and had reports of where these people were supposed to have been.
Right.
When this happened, and they would go out there and try to recover their
and remember, it wasn't just a typical volcano. It was tons of ash that had dropped for miles, for many, many square miles. And the fact that there was a pyroclastic flow that had occurred, and that wiped out several towns and bridges and connections and stuff like that.
Yeah, it was. And devastation.
And like Lester said, would there be bodies after all that heat? Chances are no. They would be burned to skeletons. And they would also be, and this is the other thing, they would also be buried under several feet of ash.
Yeah. Because well, I think they were able to recover some bodies out of vehicles, you know, that they had some sort of protection against all that heat and stuff.
That ash, correct. Yeah. But like as far as the Mike Johnson, the gentleman up on the hill, they didn't find his body and he was a couple of miles away.
Yeah.
They may have found remnants of his clothing or maybe a bone or two, but they didn't find his body because of the heat that wave of ash. When that ash cloud comes down, it's not only just ash, it is heat.
Super heated air. Yeah.
Right. So, absolutely. Okay. Next one. Bigfoot is really a caveman. Go ahead, Chris.
Oh, in 2007, Vancouver Island resident Robert Wilson claimed to have seen what I thought was a bear. I drove down and saw what I could only describe as a large hairy man who looked caveman-like with sort of Neanderthal features. As big as a bear, easily. Expanding on his claim, a 2011 History Channel documentary proposed that the Sasquatch might not be a giant ape at all, but could be a species of prehistoric human. Well, no.
So, Mike from Cargasp, were there a few other stories about people? There are some people that came forth and said that, but they have kind of sunk into the background of history. Not to get back on the thing.
Yeah.
But
how would Battle Mountain?
Yeah. How would they find those burnt Bigfoots? They're buried under ash. And in fact, that whole area was restricted for years before, you know, they could really get people into the area. I mean,
I think is talking about because he said these wildfires. I think he's talking about the Battle Mountain, Nevada.
Oh, and some of these wildfires. We're gonna talk about that as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. So Bigfoot is really a cabin. Well, you know, is that really a wild theory? I don't think it's a wild theory as far as people saying it looks like a caveman.
Right.
Again. You know, 100 years ago, we called them bear men or wild men or stuff like that. So when you see something that's walking upright, has hands and feet like us, kind of has similar facial features, and just has a lot of hair. You could describe it as a caveman if that's your point of reference. So I don't think that's necessarily a wild conspiracy theory. I don't think they're cavemen. I don't think they live in caves because they would never put themselves. If they lived in caves, we would have found one by now because we would have cornered one.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I hope the ones in Kentucky are in caves right now because these single digits are not comfortable.
Yeah. number four, Chris. Bigfoot is really an alien.
Oh my God. This is a good one. Yeah. Two conspiracies for the price of one. And that's true. That's bringing in another unexplained to explain this unexplained. But anyway, in 1973, Pennsylvania UFO researcher Stan Gordon, noticed an increase in sightings of Sasquatches entering and exiting the extraterrestrial vehicles. Fascinated by the possibility that the mysterious primates may actually hail from another planet, Gordon quickly set up a UFO Bigfoot hotline. Does this say that Stan Gordon was witnessing these going in and out of the...
Thank you, Rabbit Homesteading. I appreciate it.
Rabbit,
thank you so much.
So Stan Gordon actually witnessed Bigfoot going in and out?
No. He took reports of people claiming to see Bigfoot. And you know, see, I always take that with a grain of salt because,
okay,
you know, if I'm not doing the interview, it's kind of like this. Does he believe what everybody says all the time? I don't know. There are some people that won't question a witness. Well, you know, they saw Bigfoot coming in and out of an alien craft. Right. Then they did. You know, I don't know. I don't know how the witness was vetted or who the witnesses were. These are all of these stories. Yeah. Like, if you think about it, the Mount St. Helens ones, the caveman one, this Bigfoot conspiracy stuff, they're all very anecdotal in this instance. You know, if we have the person in front of us saying, yes, I saw Bigfoot exit a UFO, then we would have a direct witness. But right. We don't in this particular incident.
What I don't like about it, because they're using they're trying to explain one mystery with another, and you can't do that. That's just like the UFOs and Bigfoot, or the orbs, and Bigfoot. Now I think there's two separate phenomena.
Now, if the witnesses were truthful, you know, let's say a couple people did see a Bigfoot go into a craft or exit a craft. Does that necessarily mean they're aliens? No. That would be like saying if you see a dog, you know, walk into a motor vehicle and come out of a motor vehicle, is the dog really driving that vehicle, or is the dog a human or whatever? They're just another human. No. That could be a study. Are there not alien abductions? Yes, there's lots of reported alien abductions. So, right. And again, we've talked about if a Bigfoot was an alien, why would it be provided no protective garments, being put into an area where it's a hostile environment with a lot of parasitic creatures, viruses and bacteria it's not accustomed to. So I think that would be some big, and what is their purpose? And that's the biggest thing. If you notice, you look at all these UAP sightings that are going on now, or UFO sightings, and any type of alien encounters with the grays or whatever, they seem to be studying or doing something. What is the purpose of a Bigfoot? To walk around the forest? Makes no sense.
Yeah.
Makes no sense. They got to have some sort of purpose.
Earlier, though, you just said that the dog wasn't driving the car. I do know of one police report in Glasgow, Kentucky, where the dog was driving a truck. And this happened years ago.
Was it an automatic or standard?
It was automatic.
Oh, it's going to be kind of difficult to see it use the clutch.
No kidding. You can look this up. I'm sure it's a matter of record. He was the superintendent at SKF USA. It's a bearing factory. It's out of business, gone. Over in Glasgow, Kentucky. He went to drop off the mail at the post office, and he had his dog with him in his pickup truck. And he went inside to drop the mail off and left his truck running and the dog inside. The dog went to the steering wheel, somehow knocked the truck down in reverse. The truck ran into another vehicle in behind it. And when the police did the report, they listed on the report that the driver of the vehicle was dog.
Unreal.
Look it up.
Hang on, we got one for the crowd too. That is hang on, I have to add this real quick.
Well, at the time I was working there at that factory, and you can imagine when this got around to all, we were all in the, we were union guys, and he was the salary employee, you know.
Well, you never know what you see around here. Anyway, you never know what you see around.
But don't leave your dog in the truck and the engine running.
Right. Okay, Chris.
Oh, next.
Next one is Bigfoot is really a giant ground sloth.
While most experts believe the Sasquatch to be some sort of shaggy primate, a few have opined that these beasts are actually surviving giant ground sloths, or perhaps evolved from them.
I don't think so.
I don't either. You know, I've looked into that. I look at and read up about the giant ground sloth and looked at pictures of them, and man, there's no way.
I think that the Sasquatch is way too fast.
Yeah.
To be considered a sloth, because even the giant sloths were not that fast.
Right.
According to science.
And, you know, the hands, you know, okay, we're talking five digits here, you know, not a couple of hooks.
Right.
So, okay, next one. Number six, Sasquatches appear in the Bible. Some have argued that the giants briefly mentioned in the book of Genesis were actually early Sasquatches. Others say that the animals are descended from Esau or Cain.
Oh, I heard that, and it's the story of the Nephilim. Yeah. While I think it's fascinating, it's purely at this point conjecture.
Now, you know, there are different children in the Bible that were born hairy, but you know, you got to think we're talking about a few thousand years ago. So, you know, at that time, human beings normally may have had a little extra hair. Which I have a lot of hair on me too. I was born with a coat.
That's so, right. When I go to the barber, I say a little off the back. I mean, a little off the back.
Yeah. So, I don't think that equates to Sasquatch.
Another thank you again. If Bigfoot interdimensions away, does it leave poop here or does it leave dirt debris? Exactly. If it was interdimensional, well, you know, it's funny. We haven't gotten to that point yet. In fact, the interesting thing is this article does not mention the interdimensional aspect or the portal aspect. That's the one thing we were actually kind of surprised. And I didn't mention that.
But in their dimension, do they have the rule where they say, leave only your footprints?
Right.
Take nothing, right. Leave only your footprints.
Yeah, it kind of argues against it being like a spirit. Yeah. Spirits don't necessarily leave footprints.
Now, number seven. Sasquatches bury their dead. I like this part. I'm interested in this. One of the most jarring questions for cryptozoologists is, if Sasquatches are real, why don't we ever find their bodies? Many believers argue that, not unlike modern elephants, the elusive apes actually bury their dead. A Kentucky-based Bigfoot researcher named Thomas Markham has wondered if giant mounds in the woods of Bell and Harlan counties in the state might be Bigfoot graves. This is an area where I have had several Bigfoot encounters and found many tracks, Markham told the Daily Yonder. Now, of course, I have no idea if these are really graves or just old, odd humps of dirt on the ground. It could be nothing more than a natural formation or something a person did a long time ago. I have not and would not dig into them, but I'm confident that Bigfoot does bury their dead.
I wouldn't be.
I kind of agree with Thomas. I think it's, now I'm not going to say that's absolute, but I think it's a distinct possibility.
I do not, for a number of reasons. So I live in the Northeast.
Yeah.
Right. this area goes as old as everything. And the Iroquois talked of the Adenarhe, the stone giant. And there is evidence that, you know, Homo Naledi and Homo Florensis did bury their dead. That's because we found their bones. If a Bigfoot buries their dead, one would think that with all the new projects going on and the new excavations into rural areas, and believe me, I've lived in the Northeast here. I've lived here. I moved up to the Capital Region in New York in 1973. I was 3.5 years old.
Yeah.
So 51 years ago, I moved up here. And I have seen rural areas turn into mauled areas, suburban areas. You know, one would think that with all the expansion that has gone on in the last couple of hundred years that this country has existed, I would think that we would come across some of their bones if they bury it. The burying process is meant to preserve the bones. It's meant to avoid predation. It's made to avoid the scavengers. So I think that if Sasquatch buried their dead and not left them out in the open, like say a deer or gorillas or chimpanzees, we would be finding their bodies laying around.
I don't think so. I disagree. Because if now, I'm not saying they do, but if Bigfoot bury their dead, these bones are not preserved. It takes a special process for fossilization. And you can see this, and I'm going to give you, it's kind of creepy, but there have been reports of grave robbers robbing old graves, like from the 1800s and stuff. They would dig them up because at that time, people particularly were buried with the things that were most dear to them. If they were females, they would have their jewelry on. And there had been reports of grave diggers at sites on these old graveyards where the graves had been dug, and the grave diggers had left their screen trays. And so what they were doing, those bones and everything had disintegrated, the body disintegrated. They were digging the earth, throwing it into a screen and shaking it and seeing if they could find any jewelry in there.
So my question would be, that is a very long process for those bones to disintegrate, I would assume.
Yes. Yes.
Right.
Probably over 100 years.
Right. So if a Sasquatch buried their dead, say 35 years ago, and now we're into that area digging, putting in housing, you know, to me, not finding the bodies, if they did bury their dead, not finding their bodies with all the development that has gone on in this country, one would think that per se that it would argue against this phenomenon being real. And that would be a good point for scientists to point out, well, if they buried their dead, why aren't we finding their bones? We find dinosaur bones. Some of their bones have had to have
fossilized.
But some of their bones, as with a Gigantopithecus, as with Paranthropus, as with all the other, have been fossilized. Lucy have been fossilized. So yes, one would think we would find some fossilized bones of a Bigfoot if they buried their dead.
See, that's the thing. It takes a very certain, a very select procedure in order for fossilization to happen. And that doesn't happen in 99.9% of the times. Most of the times, if you bury something, if you bury a human, okay, now we have a lot of different stuff, different rules to follow now. You got to have like a vault and all that stuff. Before, people were just digging, they dig a hole, they toss you in, they cover you up, and that was it. And in that case, your bones are going to disintegrate in a matter of years. I don't know how many years.
I don't know, because when they do digs all the time up in my area and find Revolutionary War debt. and they find their skeletons and bones and clothing and bits and pieces. So, you know, and that's been, I mean, when was the Revolutionary War? 18. It ended in 1783. But where the fighting actually occurred here, where they're fighting that time period, actually not from the Revolutionary War, but actually from the French and Indian War, which dates back to the 1750s. So even longer. And they're finding skeletons and bones of them.
Yeah.
So I think the further south you go, the more acidic the ground becomes.
Yeah, I think that's possible. And I'm gonna
be into that. It's a question mark. I think it's a big question mark. We really don't know. I believe they don't. You believe they might. You know, to us, unless we actually prove the creature and get in existence, we will. Okay, we of course now we're running behind.
Oh man,
look at that.
Okay. Oh no.
We're going to keep going. We're going to finish this out.
Okay, so number eight. The government captured a live Sasquatch in 1999. In 1999, a number of simultaneous fires, ravaged Battle Mountain, Nevada. Here we go. An injured Bigfoot was supposedly spotted in the carnage before being whisked away by government officials for treatment. The animal was supposedly fixed up and released, and then a government cover-up commenced. That's probably not true, but it is true that the FBI tested supposed Sasquatch hairs in the 1970s. Analysis revealed it came from a deer. That's true.
Yes, that part is true. And like I said, the whole Battle Mountain Nevada thing, again, very anecdotal.
Yeah.
Okay. Rumors.
Let's skip that one. Number nine, Bigfoot calls have been documented and can be easily mimicked. Believers feel that Bigfoot calls are diverse and distinctive, as evidenced in Animal Planet's Finding Bigfoot series. You can hear an explanation and demonstrations of the calls in the clip of the show above. Well, I don't know if we can play that. We're not going to play that.
Well, hang on. Oh, there's one for you.
Okay. Now, that did not come from Finding Bigfoot. Okay.
No, that came from...
Yeah.
That came from my area just this past September.
According to the late Grover Krantz, anthropologist and Bigfoot believer, one tape of alleged Bigfoot vocalizations was analyzed by some university sound specialists who determined that a human voice could not have made them. They required a much longer vocal tract. A Sasquatch investigator later asked one of these experts if a human could imitate the sound characteristics by simply cupping his hands around his mouth. The answer was yes. Now, I don't know about this. He's talking about the Sierra tapes, right?
And that's funny because, Legend Meets Science, the first documentary done by Doug Hijack, pre-Monster Quest days, they had Texas A&M analyze that. And they claimed it couldn't be mimicked. However, there is a guy on YouTube that does a really damn good job of mimicking the Sierra sounds. And he does it by cupping his arm. Does a real good job of it. I can't do it. So I don't know. Big question mark whether or not they can be mimicked or not.
Right.
I don't know if they can easily be mimicked. It'll take some practice, I would assume.
Don't know if the Sierra sounds, Supposedly they can't be mimicked. I don't know.
You got to listen to just do a Google search. Guy mimics the Sierra sounds.
Okay, I'll check.
And there is this young kid who does them all, who plays the original and then does his own version of them, and it's very indistinguishable. To tell you the truth.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Not
saying that the Sierra sounds are false, but right, wrapping it up, Chris. Number 10,
Bigfoot might swear. Calls aren't the only vocalizations in the Sasquatch repertoire. According to a linguist quoted in the liner notes for the CD, The Bigfoot Recordings, The Edge of Discovery, the cryptids probably have a language that likely includes a few curse words.
That was the work done by Scott Nelson, the Navy linguist.
Well, you know.
Or the Navy, he did.
That sounds plausible. I mean, if they have a language, I'm sure they have curse words. you know, if they have a language.
Yes, us Homo sapiens have a lot of them.
I mean, there's curse words. Everybody that has a language in the world has curse words.
Yeah.
So, you know, if Bigfoot has a language, which I don't know if they do or not, I've never, none's ever, you know, tried to speak with me. So,
what do you think that whoop meant? It meant piss off. Anyway,
maybe he saw somebody fall and he said, whoop.
Folks, there is no outro to this show. This is the Bigfoot News. We'll see you all Sunday night, 9 p.m. Eastern. Our guest for this week will be Chris Contreras from California.
Yes.
Got a lot of interesting ideas. It'll be kind of an interesting discussion. We'll see how this fetters out. It'd be very fascinating, to say the least. Following week, we have seen Wayne Tetherow coming on. Great guest. And we're getting next month set up, and we got a lot of surprises coming up for next month. So stay tuned. We'll catch you here Sunday night, 9 p.m. on Squatch D TV Live. And hey, everybody, have a great Saturday. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you all Sunday night, 9 p.m. Eastern.